I think it was a couple of weeks ago, I was in prayer. I was praying in the Spirit. I was praying about something totally unrelated. And as I was praying in other tongues, down in my spirit, I sensed this title just pop up in my, down in my spirit, the preventative power of prayer. I was praying in tongues when I received the preventative power in prayer. While I was praying in tongues, I instantly knew that's a message. That's a message I'm going to have to teach on, study out. But I started with that title, the preventative power of prayer. And I want to thank Michelle, Marcy, and of course, Chris Taylor, her whole team of folks up there who helped me with my slides. And when I received that, I wrote a message, and I spoke this past Sunday evening, and I started speaking on that subject. And I had no sooner started when I realized that the Lord didn't want me to rush through that, and I shared the first point, and that was all I got through on Sunday evening. I shared one point, and I knew that I was to pick up from there and come back to this subject. And on Sunday evening, I began sharing with the audience then about a personal answer to prayer in my own life years ago. My son, Stephen, he and she's his wife now, my daughter-in-law, Amy, but they were students at OSU. And they would come home periodically for the weekend. And, you know, like any parent, you feed them, you stuff them full of food, you pray for them, and you send them back to college. And so they came home, and we stuffed them real good, and they were getting ready to go. And as a matter of habit in our family, we would just stand in a circle and pray, and I'd make the kids pray. And so they prayed, and as they were praying, man, I had such a sharp check in my spirit. They're getting ready to go back to OSU, and I've got such a sharp check in my spirit. Something's wrong. Something's gravely wrong. And so I interrupted the prayer and said, guys, you cannot go. I've got a strong check down in my spirit. And I don't know what's wrong, but I know you can't leave right now. And so they said, okay. And so they hung around. I think they stayed, you know, another 30 minutes, and as I can remember. And just all of a sudden, I just had a peace down in my spirit. I just had the most amazing peace just drop into my spirit. And so I said to the kids, I've got a peace now. Whatever is wrong is not wrong now, and you can go. And I told them, I said, you know, you guys need to be getting stuff like this from the Lord yourself. I'm your dad, but I can't keep getting things like this when you're of the age, and I need you to press in and hear from God on your own. Let that be a lesson too for you. But so anyway, they thanked me, we hugged, and they took off. And then I say about 30 minutes later, because it took them about 30 minutes to get from our house in Broken Arrow out to Highway 412, headed toward OSU. But when they got to 412, I got a call from Stephen. It was a frantic call. Now, my oldest son, he's very non-emotional. He is the non-emotional one. He's the guy, if he was getting a spanking, the few times he ever had to get a spanking in his life, if he was getting a spanking, I'd say, hey, let's wait till after dinner. We can talk about it. We can pray about it. And then we can, he'd say, oh no, Dad, let's just get it over with now. JP was the negotiator. No, Dad, let's talk about it. Let's talk about, you know, whatever, you know. He's very non-emotional, you know, but when he called me, I've never heard him before that time and that call. And I've never heard him since that time. As frantic. I thought he had been in an accident because he was just saying, Dad, Dad, Dad. And I was saying, son, calm down. Tell me what happened. And he said, Dad, Dad, it's bad. And I said, son, just calm down. Tell me what happened. Are you okay? And finally he told me, I'm okay. And I said, were you in an accident? He said, no. But they've shut down both sides of Highway 412. There's an accident so bad. He said, there are dead bodies just in the street, and they're putting like some sheet or something. They're covering them. They're covering them with a cloth. These dead bodies are in the street. He was in tears, and he said, Dad, Dad, I know that I would have been in that accident. I'm going to have to learn how to follow my spirit. And we thank the Lord for protecting him, because I learned a long time ago there is a preventative power in prayer. And so I shared my text, and I want to read my text again just real quick, and then let's talk about it. We're going to read today from 2 Kings chapter 20, 2 Kings chapter 20, and I'm just going to read the first seven verses, if you will. I'm reading from the New American Standard Version of Scripture, the New American Standard Version of Scripture, 2 Kings chapter 20. In those days, King Hezekiah became mortally ill. Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came to him and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live." And then he turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, "Remember now, Lord, I beseech you now, I've walked before you in truth with a whole heart. I've done what is good in your sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Before Isaiah had gone out of the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Return and say to Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of your father David, I've heard your prayers and I've seen your tears. And behold, I will heal you. On the third day you shall go up to the house of the Lord, and I will add 15 years to your life. And I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake." Verse 7, "And then Isaiah said, take a cake of figs. And they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered." And so this scripture is such a powerful scripture about the preventative power of prayer, because here the king of Judah is in trouble. He's got a twofold problem. He's got a personal problem because he's sick. And of course, Isaiah comes and tells him, get your house in order because you're going to die. But he also had a national problem because the king of Assyria had boldly, in a bully type fashion, and when you read chapter 18 and 19 leading into 20, the king of Assyria boldly, as a bully, he tells Hezekiah, "I'm going to take your land. I'm going to take the city. I'm going to take Judah out of your hands. Nobody's going to stop me." And over in 18, just to paraphrase, I don't want to go back there and read, but I'll tell you what happens. You know, Hezekiah, he starts out as a young man on fire for God. He's 25 years old when he comes to the kingdom. He's on fire for God. He gets rid of all of the idols. Israel had been sinning against Jehovah God, worshiping idols, creating idols, and Hezekiah began to get rid of all of the idols that Israel was worshiping. And he purified Israel's worship. And it was really amazing what he began to do as a 25-year-old. God did phenomenal things, and God does phenomenal things through young people. But later in his life, when he's at the age of 39, he makes a huge mistake. And the king of Assyria was charging him and some of the other kings. He was charging them a tax. He was levying a tax on sovereign nations, and they were all paying the tax. And one day Hezekiah says, "I am no longer going to pay you. I am not going to pay you that tax." And he refuses to pay. And it infuriates the king of Assyria. And the king of Assyria sends his personal assistant to Hezekiah, and Hezekiah sends out emissaries to meet the personal assistant. And the king of Assyria says this, "I am going to conquer your whole nation." And what made it so bad, he had just conquered the northern kingdom. Hezekiah was king of the southern kingdom, of course. And the northern kingdom, they had disobeyed God. They refused to listen to God. And God stopped defending Samaria. And so that same king of Assyria, they conquered the whole northern kingdom. And Hezekiah knew it. And when he stopped paying the tax, the king of Assyria sends men to him and they say, "We're going to take Judah as well. We're going to take the southern kingdom." And Hezekiah panics and makes a huge mistake. And he says this, he says, just tell me what you want and I'll pay the ransom. Tell me whatever it is, I'll pay the ransom to you. And the king of Assyria says, okay. And he tells him, He says, I want 300 talents of silver. And he said, that's equivalent of 11 tons of silver. And he said, I want 30 talents of gold. And that's the equivalent of 1 ton of gold. And Hezekiah started trying to pay him 11 tons of silver and a ton of gold. And he didn't have any money. He didn't have any money left. And you know what he did? He robbed God. He went to the temple and he stripped the gold out of the temple. On the temple doors that had been overlaid with gold, the king told them, take the gold off the door. Take the gold off the doorpost and give it to the king of Assyria. And he took all the silver out of the temple and gave all of it to the king of Assyria. He made a huge mistake there. And the king of Assyria, just like the devil, no sooner than Hezekiah had given him all that, stripped all the gold out of the temple, gave him all the silver out of the temple, robbed God. No sooner than he had done that, the king of Assyria said, that ain't enough, I'm still going to take your land. And he said, there's no God that's going to be able to stop me. And he went on to list, in chapter 18, he lists 5 nations. In chapter 19, he lists 9 different nations. And he says, I've conquered all 9 of them. All 9 of them believed in a God that would keep me out of, you know, from conquering them. And not one of their gods was able to resist me. And he said, Hezekiah, and then he had his emissary say to the people, your God's not going to be able to save you. And he told the people, don't be a fool. Don't listen to your king. And don't think that your God is going to get you out of this. There's no God that can deliver you. And he just boldly, brashly, in a bullyish type form, exerted himself. And it's at this point that Isaiah comes and gives Hezekiah the bad news. Get your house in order because you're going to die. And the scripture says that we read there, Hezekiah turned his face to the wall. And he began to tell God how he had served him and the things that he had done. And he began to cry. And the Bible says he wept bitterly as he talked to God. And Isaiah didn't even have a chance to get out of the main courtyard before God spoke to Isaiah and said, turn around, tell the king I heard his prayers. Go back and tell him I'm going to add 15 years to his life. Go back and tell him that the king of Assyria will not touch this land. Go back and tell him the king of Assyria will not fire one arrow into this land. God said, I'm going to defend this city. And he said, I'm going to heal you and give you 15 years. The power of preventative prayer in these moments we have now, part 2. The power of preventative prayer. In that first message, I said this. Trust God no matter what comes your way. I made this point. The first point was trust God no matter what comes your way. It was to say this. Things happen in all of our lives that are sometimes unexpected. And though we are people of faith, there are things sometimes that happen that are sad, that are adverse, that are sometimes negative things happen to such great people. We live in a fallen world. And Satan is the god of it. And aren't you glad he doesn't have any authority over us? Amen. I said he's a defeated foe. He has no authority over the New Testament believer. Aren't you glad about it? Amen. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. If God be for you, then who can be against you? This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So even when negative things happen to you and I, we are never a victim. We are always the victor. And I used in that first point, look, it was from Daniel chapter 3, verse 17 and 18, where the Hebrew boys tell the king, we are not going to bow to you. We're not going to bow to that statue you made, Nebuchadnezzar. We're not going to bow. We're not going to yield one inch, even if you burn us alive. They said this in Daniel 3:17. They said, our God whom we serve continually is able to deliver us, and our God is going to deliver us. Verse 18, Daniel 3:18. They said this, but even if he doesn't, we're still not going to serve you. You see, their faith was speaking in verse 17. Their commitment was speaking in verse 18. And we got too many Christians today who let their faith speak, but don't ever let their commitment speak. And I came to tell you, listen, if something doesn't go your way, listen, you need to trust God anyway. Trust his word. Keep your faith in Christ. Trust in God no matter what comes your way. I want to say secondly today, listen. Listen to the Spirit when you pray. Listen to the Spirit when you pray. Over in Ephesians 6:18, there is a powerful admonition that proves two things at least. Listen, it proves that prayer, praying in the Spirit is a part of the armor of God. Ephesians 6:18. Look at that with me. Go over Ephesians 6:18. Praying in the Spirit is a part of the armor of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. Praying in the Spirit is a part of the armor of God. And God encourages you and I. Listen, he encourages you and I to take that. Listen to the Spirit when you pray. And one of the things that will help us to listen to the Spirit is making time for prayer, taking time to pray in the Spirit. Philippians 4:6. Often quoted scripture, Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Strong admonition to do what? To pray. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Colossians 4:2. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Strong admonitions to pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 tells us to remain joyful, to maintain our joy. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice always. But 17 says, pray without ceasing. Over and over again, the scripture admonishing you and I to spend time praying. I'll tell you one thing about those old school saints. They took time to pray. I mean, they took time. They really prayed. They took the time and they made the effort for heartfelt, concerted prayer. We're so entertained today. We've got so many options today, don't we? There are so many things. There are so many games and shows and things that we could be doing and places to go. We got so many. We're just a people full of options today. But the scripture calls you and I to the fervency of prayer. What's your second point? Listen to the Spirit when you pray. The preventative power of prayer. It happens when we listen to the Spirit when we pray. The scripture says about Israel in the northern kingdom, they stopped listening to God. They refused to listen to God. It wasn't long before they were conquered by another nation. Over in Acts chapter 27, Paul, as a prisoner, gets on board a huge ship with 276 souls on board. He's listening to the Spirit. Acts 27:10, Paul says, "Sirs, I perceive there's going to be a great loss. There's going to be a huge accident. We're going to lose the ship. We're going to lose the tackle. We're going to lose the cargo. We're going to lose our lives." And Paul says this, "I would not sail." Historians say it was 59 AD and October of 59. And they say you shouldn't have, by historical navigation charts say that most people resisted sailing past September because of the dangerous storms. Here it's October of 59. Paul comes on board the ship as a prisoner. But because he's prayerful, he senses something at verse 10. I perceive there's going to be great loss. And they, you know what they did? They didn't listen to him. You know what they did? They took the pilot and the captain of the ship conferred and said, "He's just a prisoner. He don't know what he's talking about." And they took a majority vote. And that's a good way to miss God. Taking a majority vote. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. Amen. I love when you get down to about verse 21 of Acts 27. When you get to 21, now they've been in a storm, tossed for 14 days. They haven't eaten food at all. It's so bad. They gave up hope of even living. And at verse 21, Paul comes up and says, "You should have listened to me the first time." What's your point? The point is that when we don't listen to the Spirit when we pray, sometimes we encounter loss. That's not an explanation for every time there's a loss. But sometimes when we miss God by not listening to the Spirit when we pray, sometimes it can cost us. And so it's better to listen. Over in 1 Kings chapter 19, Elijah is having a pity party with the Lord. He's telling the Lord, I'm the only one left. Nobody else is serving you. I'm the only one. And God wants to talk to him, and he tells him. He says, go out to the mountain. And Elijah goes out to the mountain, and the Lord passes by Elijah. And the scripture says, there is an earthquake that happens, but God's not in the earthquake. There's a fire that happens, but God's not in the fire. The scripture says there's a strong wind that blows, but God's not in the wind. You can see this in verse 11 down through 13, 1 Kings 19, 11 through 13. God's not in the fire. He's not in the earthquake. He's not in the strong wind blowing. But Elijah needs to hear from God. And he's not listening very closely. And finally, the scripture says that God, he comes not in all of that other stuff, but in that the gentle, I like the way the New Living says, in a gentle whisper. The New Living Translation says, the Lord was in the gentle whisper. What are you talking about now, preacher? Listen to the Spirit when you pray. Romans 8:14, Romans 8:16, all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God, Romans 8:14. And Romans 8:16, the Spirit bears witness with our mind? No. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. So what are you saying? We've got to listen for God, and we've got to listen for him in the right way. We got so many people trying to hear from God, and they're trying to hear a natural voice. They're trying to get a natural voice. Let me tell you this. You keep trying to hear a natural voice, you'll get a natural voice, but it'll be a demon. Because Satan is the god of this world. Can God speak? He can speak to you any way he wants. God can use his voice. He can speak to you any way he wants. But he told you and I to be sensitive to him down on the inside, down in our innermost being, down in our inward man, because God is a spirit, John chapter 4. God's a spirit. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so we're not going to connect with God in some natural way and then some mental way. We've got to connect with God in a spirit way down. And your spirit is the way that we primarily interact with God, that he primarily speaks to us. Listen to the Spirit when you pray. I want to say finally, this last point. Let's share along the lines of this last point, very important. Yield to the Spirit and then obey. Yield to the Spirit and then obey. What's your last point? Yield to the Spirit. What was your second point? Listen to the Spirit when you pray. What was your third point? Yield to the Spirit and then obey. Yield to the Spirit and then obey. I remember my older son, Stephen. I remember when he was, I think he was 16 and a half. He was 16 and a half or 17. He just got his license. We had just given him a car. It's a Saturday morning. I'm lying on the sofa. Football game's getting ready to come on. I'm going to let it watch me. JP, everybody's gone. My oldest son comes down. He says, Dad, he says, I want to take my car. I want to go over to the coffee bank. Now, at that time, the coffee bank, all the young folks hung out at the coffee bank, and there were all kind of games and pool and things to do, and it was a popular hangout. And it was not uncommon on a Saturday for the coffee bank parking lot to be full of people just having a great time and just getting some fellowship. Anybody remember back then the coffee? Yeah. So he said, I want to take my car and I want to go to the coffee bank. Is that all right? I'm laying on the sofa. I said, sure, that'd be all right. Take your car and go to the coffee bank. So he left. And I thought, man, I'm going to get me a good nap. I'm going to get my nap on now. And I was laying there getting ready to drift off into sleep when I felt this down in my spirit. Get up right now. Go over to the coffee bank and park across the street and wait. And my mind took over and I thought, that's the stupidest thing I ever heard of. That's got to be the pizza I had. Maybe I had a tuna sandwich. I don't know what that was. That was something. That must have been something I ate. But after a few moments, I felt again, down on the inside of me I'm talking about, I felt an impression again, get up right now. Go over, drive over across the street from the coffee bank, park and wait. And I thought, there's just no way I'm getting off this sofa. I'm just not, that just can't be God. There's just no way I'm getting, that just don't make any sense. Why would I even do that? I felt the third time, get up right now. Drive across the street from the coffee bank and park and wait. And I started praying in tongues. And I said, Lord, you're trying to tell me something. And I had such an instant witness. Yes. I got up and put my shoes on. Drove over to the coffee bank. Not to the coffee bank. Drove across the street. Parked my car. And felt this. Now just wait. Well, I could see his cars over at the... I'm across the street, but I can see his cars at the coffee bank. I'm arguing with the Lord. Lord, this is the stupidest thing I've ever done. His car is right there at the coffee bank. He's not doing anything over there but just getting fellowship with the other kids. Just wait. And so I said, Lord, if you got me up to bring me here, then you know something I don't know. I'm just going to wait. 5 minutes went by. 10 minutes went by. 15. I think this is somewhere. I forget the exact time. Maybe 20 minutes went by. It seemed like an eternity to me. I wanted to keep saying to the Lord, I didn't. I didn't want to be, you know, I wanted to say, Lord, you sure? You sure? You sure? But whatever amount of time that was, maybe it was 20 minutes. All of a sudden, now he can't see me. My son comes out of there, Stephen. He comes out of there. He's with another young lady. And they're not walking to his car. They're going to walk around back there behind the coffee bank. That's all cleared out back there now. But they're I can see they're coming out. They're making a sharp left. His car would have been right. And they're going, I don't know where they're going, but they're going somewhere behind that building. And I'm back now across the street. He didn't look that way. He just, as they came out of the coffee bank, they went left. And as they're about to go around the building, somehow he turned around instinctively like this. And then his eyes got real big. Then he said something to her. Then they ran back in the coffee bag. I called Stephen. I said, Stephen, I'm sharing your testimony. And he said, Dad, tell it. They ran back in the coffee bag, and the Holy Spirit told me, going home now. And I said, Lord, I want to thank you because I don't know what that boy was about to do, but he could have altered the whole trajectory of his life. And he came flying in the door, you know, about 20 minutes later after I got home. And he said, Dad, you caught me. I was about to do something I should not have. And he said, I'm wrong, and I'm ready for whatever discipline you have. He said, but Dad, can I ask you one thing? I said, sure, son. He said, how would you know to park across the street from the coffee bank and to just be sitting there like that? When I left you, you were getting ready to go to sleep. How did you know? I said, son, that's the Lord who loves you. He's helping me to be a good father to you. Because you were about to violate something that could have messed up the trajectory of your life. And the Lord just helped me through the Holy Ghost to know. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about the preventative power of prayer. Let me wind down. I could just keep going, but I know I'm supposed to share this one. And this one I got from Vicky, Pastor Rob's mom. We were in prayer for our monthly prayer group. We pray for Kenneth Hagin Ministries, and so we were praying. And afterwards, I was telling they were getting there. The folks who came for prayer, they were getting ready to go, and I was encouraging them. Hey, don't forget to pray for you. Don't forget to be fervent in prayer for you. And I was sharing how I'd gotten the message. I'd gotten this title, not the message. I got a title: the preventative power of prayer. And Sister Vicky, who's such a wonderful person, and this is Pastor Rob's mom, and didn't she do such a great job raising not just him, his brother Mike, their whole family? Give her a big hand. I mean, she's just a wonderful Christian. But she was at the prayer meeting, and she said, you know, talking about that, my son Mike, he was about to get under a car while he was changing his brakes, and the Holy Spirit alerted him. And she said, so... The car fell off the jack and would have crushed him. And she said, that's the preventative power of prayer. Pastor Rob's brother, Mike, and I are good friends. And I called Reverend Mike and Kelly Betts, and I asked him, man, tell me your testimony, and can I share it? And he said, yeah, sure, please share it. And Kelly got on the phone, too. And Kelly said, I'd been praying. I'd been making extra time for prayer. I'd been making extra time for the Lord to pray, the preventative power of prayer. She said, I'd been spending more time. And she said, I'd just been praying. I'd spent about 30 minutes then praying. And so then Mike, he got back on the phone, and he said, well, she'd been praying. And he said, but when I went to go change the brakes on my car, he said, I just knew on the inside, something's going to happen with this car. Something bad's going to happen with this car. And he said, I was very cautious the way I changed the brakes. He said, I was very, very cautious. I changed the first three with no problem at all. He said, when I jacked up the car to change the fourth one, he said, I was underneath the car. And he said, where I was laying, he said, that car, when it fell, it would have severed my ankle. Kelly said, it would have probably severed your hand as well. But he said, it would have severed my ankle. And so he said, I reached over to get the new brake pad. And as he said, as I turned to get that brake pad, he said, I was being careful because I felt something was going to happen anyway. He said, as I turned, the car fell off the jack. And the axle, everything right into the floor. And he said, if I hadn't been on the alert to be careful, I still would have been under that car in a way, reaching for that brake pad in a different way. The preventative power of prayer. I remember a minister came to Pastor Hagin's men's conference called Arms Men's Conference years and years ago. And I remember he shared this at the men's conference. He said, I was on my way home from church, and he said, I didn't hear a voice, but I just had a strong witness down on the inside. Don't go the same way home that you go home. You know, Pastor and Mrs. Hagin have amazing stories about how the Lord's protected them. Mrs. Hagin would have got T-boned out here one time if she hadn't been listening to the Lord. To slow down, the Lord told her to slow down, you know. But this minister said, he said, the Lord told me, don't go the same way home. And he said, I just decided, what is that? I'm going to go the same way home. I want to get home faster. I go another way, it's going to take me longer. I'm going to go the same way. So he said he headed out the same way home, in spite of what the Holy Spirit had told him. He said he's at a red light. He's just sitting at the red light. He said, he said he was driving a Corvette. He said all of a sudden a car comes the opposite direction to stop at the opposite red light across the street. And he said that car rolled over as it was coming to a stop. It rolled over a sharp metal object, and the tires flipped that thing up in the air and hurled it toward his car. And that sharp metal object went right through his windshield and right into his dash, less than a foot from his heart. And he said, I better listen to the Lord. Now, my words now, the preventative power, can we prevent everything? No, but listen, God will either, if he doesn't deliver us from the fire, he'll deliver us through the fire. Either way, we got the victory. Amen. God expects us to walk by faith. We're not victims, we're victors. Right. You understand what I'm saying? That was my first point, right? But the point is here now, look, we'd better be listening to the Lord, listen to the Spirit when you pray, and then yield to the Spirit, and then obey. I can't tell you what God is talking to you about, but I can tell you how over and over and over again in my life, the Lord has helped me to avoid some danger, some calamity. Tony and I were in St. Thomas, Virgin Islands, on vacation. We just got back from a cruise 2 weeks ago. We've been out on a beautiful cruise. But 2023, we were out. We were having a great time. We flew to St. Thomas and booked a resort there and rented a car. And St. Thomas, you know, they drive on the British system, so they're driving on the left side of the road. And it's a very hilly place with tiny streets. And so you're going up and down, up and down, up and down. And I rented this four-wheel drive Jeep, and we dropped the top, you know, the top rolls back in that thing. We rolled the top back on that thing, and man, we having some fun. We all over. Tony's like, get on the right side. of the road. I was like, oh, yeah, we got to keep your shoulder, left shoulder to the curb, left shoulder to the curb. We're just bouncing up and down in that Jeep. We're having a blast. And somehow or another, I didn't know she had a credit card even in her back pocket. But somehow or another, she had a credit card in her back pocket, and that thing came out. I'm thinking I've got, when we left wherever we were going, I had credit cards and money, and I thought she left all her stuff at the hotel. But anyway, long story short, that we're bouncing up and down in that Jeep, and that credit card came out of her back pocket and not only went under this and into the seat, but down under the seat. We don't know that. We're getting ready to go to dinner. The hotel is a resort. They send a golf cart to pick you up at your suite, and then they have a car come and pick you up at the entrance of the hotel. It's time for us to go. We're dressed, ready to go. We're going to a beautiful dinner. We're getting ready to go out the door. All of a sudden, I have a check in my spirit. We can't go. Tony said, what is it? I said, I'm not sure what it is, but I got a check. We need to start praying. She started praying in tongues. I started praying in tongues. We're saying, Lord, what is it? Show us what it is. I said, well, we better not go. She said, we're going to be late for dinner. I said, we just have to be late for dinner. I'm not going anywhere. Let's not leave till we're praying in the spirit, praying in the spirit, praying in the spirit. Not to tell all my business, I had to go to the bathroom. I told her, keep praying in the spirit out here. I'm going to go to the bathroom. I'm going to keep praying in the spirit. Anyway, I'm in the bathroom praying in the spirit. She's out in the hotel praying in the spirit. And I heard the phone ring out there. But all of a sudden, Tony busts in the bathroom door, and she says, oh, honey, my credit card. I left my credit card in the rental car. We had taken the rental car back because the resort said, we'll take you every place you need to go. You don't need to spend $200 a day on a rental car. We'll take you every place you need to go. And I'd taken the rental car back. And I didn't know her credit card was under that seat. But the Holy Ghost did. And we were about to go to dinner where we would not have been reachable. She knew from our application there that we were staying at this resort. So that's all she had, was that we were staying at a certain resort. And of course, you know, we booked it with a credit card. But long story short, and to end this, the thing that I'm saying to you is the manager calls and says, I've got your credit card. And she said, if I leave it here overnight, it'll be gone by morning. And she said, I hate to say this, but somebody will get your credit card and there'll be a bunch of fraud and there'll be a bunch of charges by the morning light. I can't leave it here, and I have no place to leave it or lock it up. And she said, so I'm sorry. I've got to get this to you tonight. Where are you at? We were 40 minutes away. She said, I'm just going to drive in my personal car and bring it out to you. And so we waited on dinner. She drove it out there. We got out there. Tony started talking to her about the Lord, and then she started revealing some huge problems she was having. And then she said, oh, you all are ministers, would you pray? And so we prayed, and the Lord just touched her right out there in the hotel parking lot. And she just collapsed in Tony's arms, and we prayed for her. And oh, man, and I gave her a huge tip for giving us the credit card. And we had peace and went on to a wonderful dinner. But there is a preventative power in prayer. My friend, I could go on and on, but we need to close. But I have so many more examples I could share with you about how the Lord has prevented calamity and hurt and trauma and pain in my life. And there have been times when I've been through the fire too. But the Lord always walked with me. He was always the fourth man. Anytime I went into the fire, the Lord was right there with me in the fire. And when I came out of the fire, I didn't smell like smoke. And I thank him for the preventative power of prayer. What I've been trying to say in this time is, don't fool yourself. There is a preventative power in prayer. And if you'll take the time, make time for prayer, make time for God. Trust God no matter what comes your way. Listen to the Spirit when you pray. Yield to the Spirit and then obey. And allow the preventative power of prayer to protect you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for your protecting hand. Thank you for the preventative power of prayer, faith-filled prayer in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the promises of your word. Thank you, Father, for all the times you try to get our attention. And sometimes, Lord, you know, we're not listening well. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. And I don't know what you're going through today, but I know the Lord has sent me to tell you to pray fervently, to press in prayer, to to make time for prayer. And sometimes we have to tune out some of the other things that we got going to make time. But when we do, we're going to experience in greater ways and greater measures the preventative power of prayer. You might be sitting here listening to the sound of my voice. And how you listen to God and how you listen to the Spirit is so important. And you might be here and maybe you don't know God. Maybe you don't know what would happen to you tonight if you were to die. If you were to pass on from this place. You don't know what would happen to you. And if you're here, I want to pray for you because there is a preventative power of prayer. King Hezekiah turned his face to the wall. With tears, he wept bitterly, and God saw his tears, and God heard his prayers. And today, God sees your heart. And whether you're watching from home or whether you're right here in this audience, God can see your heart. And if you'll be honest with him, and the scripture says in Hebrews, today when you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Don't harden your heart. Learn from Israel's mistakes. If you hear the Lord speaking to you, don't harden your heart. If you're not sure what would happen to you, if you were to die tonight, God forbid, if you're not sure what would happen to you, I want you to lift your hand. Let me pray for you. You say, I'm here, but I'm not sure what would happen to me. I want you to lift your hand. Let me pray for you. There's a preventative power in prayer. If you'll be honest, thank you, I see your hand. If you'll be honest with God, will you be honest with him? What do you do when you hear the voice of the Lord? My second point was listen to the Spirit when you pray. What do you do when you hear the voice of the Lord? When he knocks at the door of your heart. Revelations 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door of your heart and knock. But God says this to you, I'm not going to break my way in through the door. You're going to have to invite me in. And if you'll hear his voice today, and if you'll listen to him, he'll come in. And he'll heal your heart, and he'll fill your heart, and he'll make you the person he wants you to be. Lift your hand. You want me to pray for you? You're not sure you're born again. Thank you. Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. And then you may be here, and maybe you are a Christian, but you've turned from God. You haven't been walking with God. You know it. God knows it. The devil knows it. You have not been walking with God, and the Holy Spirit's speaking to you. What do you do when you hear his voice? Don't harden your heart. Don't let the enemy trick you. Oh, the Father loves you so much. And it's time for you to come home. You're here today. You're a Christian, but you haven't been living right. Let me see your hand. Let me pray for you. Let me see your hand. I'm here today. I sense the Spirit of God talking to me. The Holy Spirit's talking to me. I want to come home. I want to make it right. I want to make it right. Lift your hand. I'm going to pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. I want you to do something. With every head bowed, every eyes closed, I'm just going to count to three. And when I get to three, I just want you to boldly, man, I want you to, listen, God's going to touch you. God's going to meet you just like he touched Hezekiah. The preventative power and prayer for Hezekiah, God gave that man 15 more years. And God's speaking to your heart. One, I want you to get ready. I want you to get out of your mind everybody else who you might be thinking about, something else you might be thinking about. Get that out of your mind. God bless you. God bless you. I want you, stay right there. Three, I want you to stand up on your feet. Stand up on your feet right now. You asked me to pray for you. Stand up on your feet. That's right. Boldly stand up on your feet. Listen to the Lord. Listen to the Spirit. Don't harden your heart. Don't harden your heart. Now listen, here's what I want you to do. Come right down here and let me pray for you. When you walk down here, God's going to touch you in the mighty name of Jesus. You come right down here and let me pray for you. Come on down here. I'm going to pray for you right now. The doors of the church are open. Come on down here. Come on down here. Saints, you're praying. Saints, you're praying. You're here. And you don't know what would happen to you. You don't know what would happen to you if you were to die tonight. Or you're here and you're a Christian. Thank you. God bless you. You're a Christian, but you know you're not living right. And you sense the Holy Spirit talking to you. Are you going to harden your heart like Pharaoh? Are you going to miss your blessing? Oh, God's a merciful God and he loves you so much. I want you to get out of your seat. I want you to come down here right now. I want you to let me pray for you right now. Come on down here. There's somebody else here and you know you need God. You know you're not living right. Come on down here. Give give me your hand, but give God your heart and let God touch you. If you'll get out of your seat right now and come down here, God's going to meet you in a wonderful way. Get out of your seat. Come down here right now. Get out of your seat and come down here right now in Jesus' name. God wants to touch you today. He wants to touch you. He wants to help you right now. Down here, lift your hands up, guys. Lift one hand to God. You're just saying, you know what you're saying to the Lord? I'm giving you my heart. I'm giving you my life.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, you know.
Are you already saved and coming to restore just to...
I'm back with the Lord as of yesterday.
Okay.
This month, I almost OD'd on drugs.
You almost OD'd on drugs.
It was almost got murdered.
Okay, you stay right there. And then you're coming today. You're coming to... is this your first time being saved, or just coming to make things right with the Lord?
Yeah.
Okay, great. All right. Keep your hands up there, guys. We're going to say this prayer to God. Father, just say this out loud. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to you. I give you my heart.
I give you my heart.
Right now. In Jesus' name. I'm going to live for you. I'm going to serve you like never before.
Yes, Lord.
So thank you for your forgiveness.
Thank
you for your strength.
Yes,
thank
Lord.
You for your protection.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord. Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. Father, I pray you'll bless these guys. I pray you touch them right now by your mighty power, by the Holy Ghost. Father God, I thank you for filling them with the mighty Holy Ghost.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus. Thank you for it.
Yes,
thank you for it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Guys, listen to me. This is Reverend Greg Finley right here. He's going to give you some free materials. He's going to answer any questions. He's not going to keep you long. I want you to go with him to a place of prayer right now. All right, go right with him. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's give these guys a big hand. Praise God. Oh, glory to God. Come on, we can do better than that. Come on. If it was the Patriots or the Bears or whatever your favorite football team is, I tell you, God is so good. Point your hands in their direction. Father, we thank you for these men who came. And we thank you for your merciful hand. And we thank you for your powerful hand. And we thank you, Father God, they'll receive everything they came for. And we thank you, Father God, for the mighty baptism of the Holy Ghost. And we thank you for complete, total restoration. And we thank you for protection. And we thank you for deliverance. And that one gentleman from drugs and addiction, in Jesus' name, we rebuke the devourer from him in the mighty name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, for your delivering power right now in Jesus' name. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Well, God is a good God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. The preventative power of prayer. Make time for the Lord. He's got something to say to you. He's got things to protect you from. Well, we're going to sing a song. The pastors are going to go to the doors and shake hands. Are we going to the doors, Pastor Denise? Are we going to the doors? Yeah. So we're going to go to the doors and shake your hand. Be safe. Be safe out there. Drive slower. Slow down. God bless you. We'll see you. We're not having church tonight. Remember, God bless you.